from home to home. Despite James Macaulay leaving his family comfortably well off, by the time Eleanor died, the children had little left, except for some small investment in the apothecary's hall in Mary Street. William Armstrong, a distant relative of Eleanor, was the director of the hall, and he and his wife offered a home to the Macaulay children. Catherine's heart was breaking. She was faced with a big decision. Her uncle, Owen Conway, had invited her to live with him in East Arran Street. If she accepted his invitation, she would be separated from Mary and James, but she would be living in a Catholic atmosphere, which would be a wonderful gift for her. Should she live with the Armstrongs, there would be great tension. Religion was bound to be the big discussion, as always was the case around the dinner table, and Catherine realized she would not be able to defend what she believed in. The background knowledge of her faith was poor, but she had what was most important of all, and it was deep in her heart. Jesus was alive in there, and over the years she got to know him as a real friend. He would give her the courage to be daring when she needed it. This was probably one of the most difficult decisions of her life, but she listened to her heart, trusted her friend Jesus, and accepted her Uncle Owen's offer while Mary and James went to the Armstrongs, which was only a stone's throw away. Anne Conway was thrilled to have her cousin Catherine. They were great pals and had a lot in common. Anne shared Catherine's love for the sick and the poor. As in the past, but of course they were a lot older now, they would walk the streets of Dublin, seeking out the hungry little children to feed them with whatever food they had. Clothing was a big problem too. Many of the little ones had often very little to wear, and of course, not one of them had a shoe. But Catherine and Anne, and some of their friends, had plans to change all that. Many an old pair of curtains, once hanging on the well-to-do windows of Queen Street, Mary Street, and other streets, now hung on the backs of many a wee child in the neighbourhood. Catherine begged and borrowed from her well-off friends and her neighbours. Anne, her friend, sat up into the early hours of the morning, converting drapes into dresses until their eyes dropped out of their heads. They worked hard, but loved every minute of it. It was a real gift to be able to help in some small way these darling little ones who had so few of life's necessities. Catherine adored her new home. While she grieved for her mother and missed the company of Mary and James, who were both happy in their new home, she was very content. She had a freedom that she hadn't known before. She would attend Mass in nearby St. Paul's, Arran Quay, or up in St. Mary's in Liffey Street, without the fear of being teased and ridiculed. Anne introduced her, at that time, to Father Beta, a holy and wonderful old priest. They became great friends and talked a lot, as all friends do. He helped Catherine to understand more fully her Catholic faith, which was to be a huge help to her in the months and the years to follow. "How can I tell her, Daddy?" Anne Conway said to her father as he put his arm gently around his daughter Anne and drew her close. "I'm so sorry, darling. I just don't know how it all happened. We have no money left. We can hardly keep the roof over our heads." Catherine, who was about to come through the door, had heard the conversation. "Uncle Owen, are you bankrupt?" Catherine inquired softly. Anne ran to her cousin and her dear friend. They both held each other tightly. "I'm afraid so, my dear. But don't worry, we'll manage somehow." They didn't manage. There was barely a crust of bread to eat at times. Circumstances became so desperate that Catherine soon was herself sleeping on the floor. The winter of 1800 was bitter. There was nothing to heat the house with, no money to buy wood or turf, and no hope of things improving. Catherine must again make a decision. If she went to live with the Armstrongs, it would ease the burden in the Conway house. One less mouth to feed, one less worry for them. Again, her heart was breaking, but she knew that God was once more with her. This time, Jesus was filling her with an even greater love for the poor. Now she really knew what it was like to be hungry and to go to bed cold. "Please don't cry, Anne. We're only around the corner from each other." Catherine smiled, always with such warmth in her big blue eyes. "And I feel so much more confident now, thanks to you and Father Beta. The Armstrongs won't know what hit them." Anne chuckled between tears. "Well, they are certainly going to see a different me. I'm not the Catherine Macaulay who was. I'm the Catherine Macaulay who is bolder and stronger." "You're daring to be different, dear friend. That's what you are," Anne whispered as she walked Catherine to the horse-drawn carriage, which had arrived to take her to yet another new home.